If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn them to the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. The title of the message is The Guy, Jesus. We start the Advent season today. It's the Sunday right after Thanksgiving that starts the Advent season. Typically, there's four Sundays and then a Christmas Eve service. On December 24, we're going to celebrate Jesus' birth, and we have been studying as a church in the book of John. We were in John chapter 14 last week, and there is no birth account of Jesus in the Gospel of John. We pick up in his life when he's a man, really about the time that he goes into public ministry. However, in John 1, we do see a bit about Jesus and why he came. Thus, this Christmas season, we're going to focus on what John says in this beginning chapter of who Jesus is and why he came. I have a little bit of alliteration in the message titles for the year. The title of the message series is Bringing Christ into Christmas. It seems that each year we can either have Jesus be a part of our Christmas involvements or we can put him on the shelf. In recent years, there's been an activity called Elf on a Shelf. How many of you have participated in Elf on a Shelf? Maybe some are unfamiliar with this, and so let me tell you what it is. There was a book that was written in 2005. It tells a story of how Santa knows who is naughty and nice, and he sends his elves out. Then the elf is hidden each day, and the family tries to find the elf in the house. And so there's an elf, and he's on the shelf, and he watches, and he sees who's naughty and who is nice. And then sometimes in families, they will hide the elf, and the family will try to find the elf later. So the elf watches the events in that family's house to determine who's good and who's bad. Now, some of us have actually done this, not with an elf on the shelf, but we've done it with Jesus, and I've heard of others who have taken Jesus and a little baby Jesus figurine and hidden him around the house and maybe even hid him until December 24, and then you find him. It seems that during this time of the year that if we are not careful, we can get lost in the reason for the season. I hope each of you have picked up a First Wesleyan Church Christmas devotional. If you haven't, I encourage you to get one on Wednesday or maybe on Sunday, December 8th. And so then you can read along. And many of the devotionals talk about that, about how we lose the reason for the season. And the reason is that Jesus came to our world and he came as a baby for us. I hope that we do not put Jesus on the shelf, but we put Jesus in the front and center. And so this Christmas season, we're going to focus on Jesus. And here are the title of the messages for the month of December. The first one is John 1:14. The title is The Guy, Jesus, that we'll be talking about today. In this message, we're going to talk about what it means that Jesus came as the only Son, as a guy, as a man in the flesh. December 8, we're going to talk about John 1:8, the glowing Jesus, and really that Jesus is the light. Again, I wanted to have a little alliteration, and so that's why it's the glowing Jesus, is because Jesus' light shines. On December 15, we're going to talk from John chapter 1, verse 14 again, and talking about the glorious Jesus. It says, we have seen his glory. And we're going to talk about Jesus and his glory. And then on December 22 from John chapter 1 verse 14, I'm going to talk about the graceful Jesus. Jesus is identified as being full of grace and truth. And what does it mean for us this Christmas season that he's full of grace and truth? And then on December 24, Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about the giving Jesus. The NIV says it this way from John 1:16, we have all received one blessing after another. And the ESV states, grace upon grace. And so we're going to look at the blessings that we have received. Today, let's look at the title, which is The Guy, Jesus. So if you have your Bibles open, John chapter 1, verse 14, here's what it says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The first point I want you to see from this text is Jesus became flesh. He was 100% man. Jesus was in the splendor of heaven, but came to our earth. Philippians 2, 5 to 8 says this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Most days, now most of us carry with us our phones, and on our phones are cameras. We record everything. We record so much that we record too much at times. We record, take pictures of all kinds of things. And as a reminder to you, don't spend so much time on your phone that you miss out on what's happening in the live action. But we record everything. We carry our phones with us everywhere. Hopefully you took a picture at your Thanksgiving celebration. Though we did not have smartphones, or Jesus didn't carry around a smartphone, we don't have a picture of Jesus. Now, there have been people who have painted pictures or drawn pictures of Jesus, but we have not a, and there are pictures that we've seen of Jesus, but because we don't have necessarily a photograph of Jesus, we have a written picture of him and know that he was on our earth. This is what the Word of God said. The Word became flesh. He came to our world. A 2015 survey conducted by the Church of England found that 22% of adults in England did not believe Jesus was a real person. That's confounding to me. That means one out of five people in England did not believe that Jesus was a real person. Let me tell you, Jesus was real. The Bible records this, that Jesus came in the flesh. However, there are some who say, well, what do you have outside the Bible? Thanks for the Bible, but the Bible doesn't tell us everything. And so is there any proof of Jesus being alive outside of the Bible? Well, yes, there is. For those of you who are historians and like this sort of stuff, let me give you some identifications with that. First, in the first century, there was a Jewish historian named Flavius Josephus. He's regarded as one of, if not the best source of information from first century Palestine. He mentions Jesus twice in the Jewish Antiquities, and that was a 20-volume history written about 93 AD. Also, Tacitus, who wrote Annals of Imperial Rome, and that was a first century history book. It was written around 116 AD of the Roman Empire. Tacitus was a Roman historian, which means that he had no Christian bias whatsoever, and he wrote about Jesus. There's a smaller account of the would-be, the would come from the Roman governor named Pliny the Younger. He stated this, that Christians would sing hymns to Christ as to a god, in quotations. And there's two more. Thallus, who lived from 5 to 60 AD, described the crucifixion of Jesus. And Mara Bar Serapion in AD 70 described Jesus in a letter to his son. There's another quote here that is this. Jesus was known by historians. No one thought that he was made up. So here we have some texts that are outside the Bible that tell us about Jesus. Now, those of you who are believers, You have no problems with this. You're like, well, yeah, but he really became flesh. And so if you're one that's not a believer, just wonder if Jesus was, he was here. And then you have to identify, why was he here? And he came for you and he came for me and he was in the flesh. He was a man. And if Jesus was made up, if he really wasn't on the earth, don't you think that this thing called Christianity would be long gone by now? It'd be a lie. There'd be no life and no reason for any of us. But Jesus came into our world as a man, and we can believe it. Now, here are some scriptural references from the Bible that point to what John is saying here in his first chapter of his gospel. Galatians 4:4. But when the time had fully come, Jesus sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Hebrews 2:17. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, in order to make atonement for the sins of the people. Luke 2:6. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, that's Mary, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in Luke 2:21, when the 8 days until his circumcision had passed, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And in Luke 2:40, and the child, which was Jesus, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Jesus was in the flesh. He came to our world. It is documented inside the Bible and outside the Bible. I'm glad that Jesus came. The second thing I want you to see about the guy, Jesus, was this. He dwelt among us. What does it mean that he dwelt among us? That means that he not only came to earth, but he lived with people. And I think you all know what this means. You're not just here, but you're actually there. Again, now going back to smartphones, I don't know how you did around your Thanksgiving time or in recent days. It seems like a lot of us are engaged in our phones and not really dwelling with the people. We're more dwelling with our phones and who's not with us or who's with us via online instead of in person. Well, Jesus wasn't succumbed to smartphones, and he dwelt among us. He lived here. He was with us. He dwelt with us. He lived with mankind. He wasn't just in the heavens doing his own thing. For me, it's an extremely neat part of who Jesus was and is. It's pretty simple to sit back and let others do the chore. Involve and they can do whatever activity or ministry instead of getting my hands dirty. But when I dwell with others, my perspective changes. So what does his dwelling among us do? Here are some things that it does. One, identifies with us. Two, he sympathizes with us. Three, it gives him reality. Four, lets us see him and experience his goodness. And five, we see his witness, which we're going to talk about that in a moment. When you dwell somewhere, you live there, you reside there, you experience life there, you dwell there. If you're a Rapid Citian and you grew up in Rapid City, you have dwelt here, and thus you know about Rapid City. If you were here in 1972, you dwelt here and you were in a very difficult time of the life of Rapid City with the flood. If you dwell in Rapid City, you've seen what's happened over the years in the Civic Center and the hospital and people coming and going and you being a part of that. You dwell here. If you're not from Rapid City originally, you have just been transplanted in the last 5 years, 3 years, even the last 20 years. You haven't seen Rapid City over the past 100 years, past 75 years, and thus you dwell here now, but you missed all the dwelling before, right? It's kind of like this. If you were asked what life is like in Africa, unless you live there, you don't know. And if you live in Rapid City, you do know. So you're able to talk about the 15 inches of snow that we received and the winds blowing at 40 miles per hour and the 4-foot drift that was in your driveway or the 5-foot drift or however high it was. And then the next day being out with maybe almost a short sleeve shoveling the snow because of the sun that was out. You dwell here. You understand that. But Africa? I've not been there. How many of you have been there? If you've been there, you still don't know. You just visited. You haven't dwelt there. There's relatively few of us that are listening to this message and a part of this that you know what life in Africa is. I mean, isn't there a desert there? I mean, maybe there's a river there. Have they had any famines there in recent days? I mean, we hear about it, but I don't really know because I don't dwell there. Jesus came from heaven. And the Word of God says he dwelt among us. He lived with us. He was able to understand. The Greek word for dwelt could actually be translated as took up residence. It's alluding to the Old Testament tabernacle where the visible presence of God resided. John is suggesting to us now that the glory in the tabernacle was now in the person of Jesus. He pitched his tent. Now, last week I shared from John chapter 14, verse 23. Here's a neat connection. At least I believe it's neat. Here in chapter 1, John tells us that Jesus came to dwell among us, live with us, or reside with us here on the earth. That's cool. That's neat that he was willing to do that. John 14:23 says that, well, here's what it says. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." He, Jesus, wants to make his home in us. How outstanding is that? It is a furthering of his mission in our lives. He came here to dwell with us, to dwell in us. Those two different prepositions, in my mind, change everything. Not only is he going to dwell with us, which he did, but then he says, "I want to dwell in you." See, Jesus came as a man. He didn't come as a ghost. He didn't come as a female. He didn't come as an alien. He was a man. Some might get frustrated with that. But that is how God chose to come. We can embrace that instead of rejecting that and getting frustrated with it. I wonder, as Jesus came and dwelt among us, as he tabernacled with us, who do you tabernacle with? Meaning, who do you live with? Jesus came and tabernacled with us. And the people we live with, we dwell with. I'm very thankful that Jesus came and dwelt with us. The third thing I want you to see is this. He came as a witness, Jesus did. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What was he witnessing? The Father? A number of places in John's gospel shares this very fact. John chapter 12, verse 45. "And whoever sees me sees him who sent me." John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Have I not been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? Why is being a witness of the Father important? Because Jesus was bringing heaven to earth. He was aiming to show us some of the magnitude of heaven. And boy, did he show it. What do you and I witness? We've witnessed a lot. And what we see, we can testify about. Imagine what Jesus witnessed in heaven and what he showed of the Father. You and I dwell among many people. So what do we witness, or what do we see? Because that's one part of witness, is being able to see something. We witness it. We see it. And what do we witness? What do we tell about? See, we have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Jesus had a responsibility. He came as a baby. He turned into a child. He transitioned into a teen. He became a man and showed us all along the way of the Father. He transitioned just like each of us. Or maybe hear it in this way from Gregory of Nazianzus from AD 381. He began his ministry by being hungry, yet he is the bread of life. Jesus ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty, yet he is the living water. Jesus was weary, yet he is our rest. Jesus paid tribute, yet he is the king. Jesus was accused of having a demon, yet he cast out demons. Jesus wept, yet he wipes away our tears. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeemed the world. Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the good shepherd. Jesus died, yet by his death he destroyed the power of death. What have you witnessed? What have you seen? What do you witness? What do you share about? We must be the ones that live the life and witness about these things. And the fourth thing I want you to see is this. He came as a sacrifice. He came as a sacrifice. John chapter 1, verse 29. This is what John says about Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came as a sacrifice, a ransom for sins. We can have our sins forgiven, but it took the perfect spotless one, that is Jesus, to die on the cross. He couldn't have been a sacrifice if he would have stayed in heaven, if he wouldn't have become a man. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin. He thus condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus came in the flesh as a sacrifice, the perfect, spotless lamb for each of us. C.T. Studd, a great missionary of years gone by, is quoted as saying this: if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Let me repeat that. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, which he did, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Story is told about a boarding house that was in Houston, Texas, and it was on fire. And a woman broke through the lines and went into the house. It collapsed, and the woman burned to death. It was published that the woman ran in and basically committed suicide because she knew what was going to happen in that building. But later, the paper printed an apology. Why? When the workmen dug through the rubble, they found in the back room a little iron bed, and her baby had been burned. She hadn't committed suicide. She had entered that house to save her baby. Jesus didn't enter a burning world. But boy, did he enter a world of sin to help us and to pay our price. He came as a human in the flesh, and he dwelt among us after enjoying the splendor of a heaven to be a witness of the Father and to be a sacrifice for each of us. As we embark upon this Christmas season, here we are in December of 2019, may each of you know that Jesus came as a man to our world, 100% man, 100% God, for each of us. May his dwelling that is documented in the scripture and outside of scripture, may his dwelling that is documented here on this earth affect your dwelling. And may as you dwell among others, may they see Christ dwelling within you. May you serve as a witness, and may his sacrifice that he gave for your life and for mine of dying impact your life. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came as flesh. You had skin just like we do. You had fingernails and you had toes and you had hair and you had eyes to see. And you came and you dwelt among us. You lived with the 12 disciples, and there was others that followed you, and you interacted with many, and you tabernacled with everyone. Anyone that was in your presence was touched by your presence. Thank you, God, for sending your son Jesus into the world. I pray that there be somebody who's listening to this message who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, that they would say yes to you, and they would say, yes, Jesus is on the earth, and his dwelling among us has made an impact upon my life, and I receive his sacrifice of his own life to conquer death for my life. God, I pray that you would help each of us this Christmas season to know that you came on this earth. And as we are humans, and we are in the flesh, and we're going about our numbers of things, that we would be reminded that you came as a man for each of us. Thank you, God, for coming to be our sacrifice. Thank you for coming to be a witness. Thank you for you being in our lives. May we go from this time being impacted by what you have done when you have come. Thank you for all the miraculous works you did while you were on this earth. And thank you that you are able to do even greater things through us because you have went back into heaven. We anticipate and we look forward to you coming again someday, and may we be ready. Until that time, as we dwell among others, may we share of your love, share of who you are in our lives. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.